T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's because you're wrong.
With all due respect, I let you.
With all due respect, I let you do 4 minutes, and I was told by management recently to interrupt you more often because they want me to put a stop to this steam train that you you barrel down the tracks with.
Okay, let me say something real quick.
Say something real quick.
Katie, 18's a number. He scores 18 tonight. No, forget this 30.
Where's this number come from? Just out of curiosity.
You know where they all come from.
If he scores just 18, they win tonight. How about that? Lock it up again. Now let's. Hey, oh, his scoring's going to be so significant. You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy.
18's a good night for a guy who hasn't even practiced in a month.
Right. I don't care. But he 30 or 25 for them to win. No. You just need him to. If he can get 18, you're good, because he's going to limit Kawhi and he's going to be playing defense. Other guys are going to be scoring. 18. That's all. You heard me here. And then come in tomorrow. And come down my road, because I'm telling you, if the guy just gets 18, I don't care. I'm just giving you a number for one guy. If it's 18, they win. That's it.
If that's the case, and I'm Steve Kerr, I want Durant taking all the shots. And if he gets to 18, it's like, all right, let's call off the dogs. We're good here. We got our 18.
So we get Jacob Evans in there.
I don't care.
He's got 18,
because
we win.
Steph's going to get you 30, and Clay's going to get you 25. He's going to
You think Steph goes for 30 tonight?
Yes. That's,
well, I mean, there's going to be a good bounce back here. He's so low in the last game, the prop's going to come down.
He doesn't have
trying to make some money here.
Because they're going to have some isolations with KD. He doesn't have to run as much. He's not going to expend as much energy. He's going to play in more bursts. He's going to play in more spurts. He doesn't have to necessarily have it a full throttle the whole game. The guy gets 30 tonight. Now, talk to me tomorrow, because you're coming out.
I have no choice, Coach. It's my job to talk to you tomorrow.
In the trash can and eat a piece.
I wish there were other things that I could do other than talk to you tomorrow.
We're talking about donuts, getting Dale donuts in the trash can. For you to say that about me?
From the 415, Dibs, your dumpster analogy was genius.
From the 707, Russian bots support low. That's a good market. That's an influential market.
I got to tell
you. Based on everything we've learned.
I got to tell you.
It's a market on the rise, for sure.
I got to tell you. Speaking of which, yesterday, Bumgarner versus Muncie.
Man.
That was something.
Bumgarner. 1-0.
How about that? Muncie goes deep.
That 162 had the under.
Muncie goes deep, low. And
shout it out.
Pimped it for 4 steps. 4 steps of pimpery. And Madison Bumgarner was right. Not too happy.
Put Muncie some respect on that. Low. Thank you.
He admired it, but he didn't flip the bat. He dropped the bat, and he made his way to first. Now, I have no problem with him admiring the shot. I have no problem with Bumgarner yelling at him. It's like everyone want to be everyone. It was the number one story in baseball yesterday.
Right.
Outside of what happened to David Ortiz. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Man.
But from what happened on the diamond, that was your number one story yesterday.
I treat
two guys
like,
yelling at each other.
I
I'm
treat
okay
it like
that.
I do traveling, Joe. It's 2.5 steps. So you hit a home run. Pretend you have the basketball. I'll give you the gather step. You get 2 more. Then run to first base. You take 4 steps. To travel.
A lot of people mad at Bumgarner for it. It's the classic line, if you don't want him pimping it, you know, throw a better pitch. You're exactly right. I like the fact that he gets all worked up about it, though. That's the mindset that delivered in Game 7. You realize that, right?
Yeah.
If he was all soft and didn't care about that sort of stuff, he never takes the bump in Game 7 against Kansas City and does what he did. He doesn't do what he does through his entire postseason. That's who he is. So all Giants fans have no problem taking the good that comes with Bumgarner when he's a lunatic. But when there's this, it's, oh, you know, if you don't like it, throw a better pitch. Newsflash, he gave up a damn run against the best team in baseball.
That's
yesterday.
It.
He had a great outing. Maybe if someone had helped contribute a singular run to yesterday's cause, you could have at least forced extra innings. He didn't score a single run, and yesterday the problem was, right. Well, Bumgarner threw a bad pitch.
1-0.
Okay, he threw one bad pitch against the Dodgers yesterday. I'll take that. I think that's a pretty good outing. And he has a loss to show for it. He doesn't even get a no decision. I don't mind the admiration. That was a moonshot.
I'm with you.
What was the line if that Joe Davis, the guy who calls the games for the Dodgers, had the Muncie line afterwards? What did he say? If you don't like it, stop throwing. I'll go.
Go out in the ocean and go get it.
Yeah.
Go out in the ocean and go get that ball.
You want me to watch it go out in the ocean.
Right, right. Which I don't mind the pimping so much. I don't mind the yellow back either. Baseball needs a little bit of that color. Colorful exchanges like that.
It's the Giants and the Dodgers.
Right.
Do you want them to be friends? No. Everyone complains about the hugging and kissing that goes on in basketball all the time. Here's a scenario on the top of the first. The series is on the line. Remember, this is a 1-1 series. Muncy hits an absolute blast, which shout out McCovey Cove Dave. He came up with it. Good friend of the program. McCovey Cove Dave came up with the ball. And, you know, Bumgarner's yelling at him. And Muncy yells back. I think it's great. Add a little fire. There's 162 games. There are plenty of Giants games where there's no animosity for the opponent at all. I'm good with it. I'm good with both sides. I want Muncy to be able to admire that. That was a very successful outcome for his business. Any one of us has any sort of success around here, you celebrate a little bit, right?
Big
Maybe
time.
Go home with the wife, have a glass of wine with the husband, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah,
but in baseball, any sort of success, God forbid you show emotion. And then Bumgarner yells, oh, Bumgarner's out of line. Throw a better pitch. I want you yelling at him. It's a Dodger. You're down 1-0. What do you want? You want to – nice hit. let me go ahead and sign this glove for you to commemorate it.
Right.
No. It's just – he had a great game. It's 1-0. If you have a problem with anything yesterday, maybe it should be the damn Giant lineup, which didn't contribute a single run to yesterday's cause.
Although
it was Walker Buehler, you know, not a whole lot.
He's filthy.
On him.
No.
I mean, step into one, Crawford. Get on base.
Come on, Crawford.
All right. Bet 162 is cooking, by the way, all-time high. Plus 265 right now. It's
unstoppable. You're rolling.
17-6 last 23. It's over.
Fire.
I'm going to win all of them the rest of the way out.
Oh, Joseph. A little too much.
Oh, you don't think so?
You did good. It was okay. You did good. Then it was just too much. A little over the top.
If I said right now that if I could win the rest of the games, and I did, you'd have to jump off the bridge, would you do it? Would you take that bet?
Would you
risk that?
Depending on what bridge.
I don't care. Pick your. You're not surviving either of them.
Yeah, I could find a bridge we can jump off of.
All right, the Golden Gate.
That's a pass.
You're going to pass on that?
Yeah.
So you are concerned that I could win every single game the rest of the way
it's
out?
It's not concerned.
I knew you believed in me, Lo. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, we're all out of time for this segment. Lo believing I can win 100 straight bets brought to you by Fremont Bank. Yep. Bet 162, take it to Fremont Bank. When you're making all this money, Fremont Bank is there for you. Full service banking, no compromises. Got a question. If the Warriors win tonight, should we bring back We Believe t-shirts for Game 6? Would people be offended that you would misappropriate a different Warrior era for this era? Or is it the perfect tribute for the final game at Oracle? 888-957-9570. We want to hear from you on this. 888-957-9570. Here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you with us today, and we hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. It's your boys, Joe Lowendibs, here on 95.7 The Game. Couple of announcements. Good friend of the program, Jim Barnett, live from Toronto in 12 minutes at 8:30. Right after that, 8:45, we have got five pairs of tickets to the watch party at Oracle Arena. Tonight's game, Game 5, we're giving those away. Just got the heads up, 8:45 or somewhere in the vicinity, right when we're done with the Barnett interview, we're going to give away five pairs of tickets to tonight's watch party. And here's the best part. They'll be waiting for you at will call, right? So you don't even have to worry about coming here to pick them up or anything like that. You just roll over to Oracle, you pick them up at will call, and go in and enjoy yourself, because hopefully the Warriors are going to find a way to bring this thing back to Oakland. I don't even know. This is how embarrassing this is. I don't even know when Game 6 is. I stopped looking that far into the future. I got so wrapped up now in just going one game at a time. When the hell is Game 6?
It is Thursday. I know that because I was thinking about it as a lightweight birthday present for my son who turns 18 on Thursday. That's the last one, a long series of great accomplishments for him this spring. You know?
Guys got a lot going on. Anniversaries,
all
graduations, birthdays.
Yeah, and it culminates with the big fella's birthday. He turns 18. I was thinking, that'd be a pretty good gift for old Questy.
Before Father's Day.
Yeah.
Everyone's done with gifts right before Father's Day on
Sunday.
Yeah,
and of course, if I was to get a couple tickets to Game 6, it'd probably cost about $800 apiece, so the coffers would be empty then for Father's Day. So
yeah,
that's the way that
someone's got to lose, right? It's a zero-sum game.
Ultimately, I just want to be left a blank alone on Sunday anyway. It's U.S. Open final round. Maybe I'll be out at Pebble and checking out some of the great golfers. So, you know, no presents needed, family.
Is Father's Day even acknowledged out in the Moo?
No, it's not. Here's why I know it's not acknowledged. Down in the Moo, down in the L Town. That's this Moo thing is so funny. It's laughable. Anna, thanks for coming.
You basically started it.
No, I didn't. Anna came with this cockamania name, the Moo.
You started it by hijacking Alameda's nickname.
Were you the one that came up with it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's a big accomplishment.
Well, yeah, she just made something up.
It's one of my favorite things on this show. I didn't even realize that was the genesis of that.
And I'm like, dude,
I feel like that deserves a round of applause.
It sure does.
That is not. That did not get nearly enough credit when it came out.
Appreciate that.
Man, we came in and spent all morning talking about how you said that defense would be at a premium Friday night. You got your applause.
It's laughable that we're sitting here talking about the moo and Father's Day, Joe. Let me get back on the question you asked. The reason why I know it's nothing in my family in the L town is because Sunday they said Happy Father's Day. I forgot to get a card
last Sunday.
Yeah. I said it's next week. You're off. And so that's what it was. Think about that. Think about Happy Father's Day. Oh, I forgot to get a card. And I just sat there and I said, hey, just newsflash, it's next week. So with that being said, Daniel, same church,
right?
Same pew. You're sitting on my lap as usual and getting ready to go for a ride because nothing's happening.
What happens if you don't get a card next week then? Is that even worse?
I don't care.
It's really, he's just going back to work anyway.
Exactly.
Happy Father's Day. Get back out there and keep earning.
Right.
Isn't it time for you to go?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Happy Father's Day. Aren't you, isn't it about time for you to shuffle on out?
The idea that if somehow, some way, the Warriors get it done tonight, with Durant, without Durant, keep it locked here, 95.7 The Game. When it becomes official, we will be the first to let you know. It seems like he's going to go tonight. Vegas is reacting. His MVP odds have dropped. Curly, our producer, was telling me this morning, I think he went from 100-1 to 40-1 at some places. I think that's a bit of an overreaction considering where we are in the series. You see the point spread go from -3 to -1.5 in favor of Toronto. Those are big moves for big games. Okay, it's very clear that something's happening here, and the thought process is that he's going to play. If they find a way to survive, and this is what they're up against, all three closeout games Toronto has had this postseason have all come in Toronto. And they've all been victories. They closed out Orlando, first opportunity, Game 5 in Toronto. They closed out Philadelphia, Game 7 in Toronto. And they closed out
Milwaukee,
Game 6 in Toronto. They have not missed on closeout games at home. First chance at home they get for a closeout game, they have not missed. So this would be breaking that trend. Now, if there's a team that can do it, it's the Golden State Warriors. But if they come back, what's the theme going into Thursday? You honestly get a do-over for the final game at Oracle. Let's face it, that's not how you want to go out.
No.
Losing, we all understand you can lose the game. But to watch the fans pouring out, to get your butts kicked in the second half, the manner in which you did, and then the Toronto fans all come down to the lower bowl, and they're singing and dancing and celebrating down there. There were like 2,000 of them down there near the court going nuts.
You see him on Instagram going crazy.
I didn't listen to the audio of that, but what was he doing? He was calling out Draymond, from what I understand?
Turning and yelling. And of course, with all his entourage, not at the game, of course. So, the guy's like, I'll say it. He's an idiot. If they're going to win this game, Joe, they're going to need Kevin Durant. So when we say without Kevin Durant, it's hard for us to imagine that they can win without him. Yeah, it couldn't happen. It's possible, but really not probable. And I think that it's safe to say, after watching just the Warrior team that's played without Kevin Durant, just with injuries, because of injuries, it's safe to say that the 76ers and probably even Milwaukee would be in the same situation if Toronto hadn't made it. And let's just say if they're playing in 76ers, what we've seen, just not with Kevin Durant, with the absence of Kevin Durant and what this team has displayed this far, they'd be down. They'd be down to the 76ers. The 76ers
unnecessary hypothetical.
It's not hypothetical.
Yeah, because you're facing.
I see what you're saying.
You're already facing a deficit right now with 3-1 Toronto. You don't need to hypothesize what other scenarios in which they would be down or struggling. That's unnecessary. You could focus on this game tonight.
I'm sorry. Right.
You started off on the right foot with Kevin Durant. You were talking about the import of Kevin Durant. Defensively, yes. Offensively, absolutely. If you can go to Toronto and you give 48 minutes and you get the win, you come back to Oracle, and even if you lose, to Joe's point, as long as you lose in a different fashion. The fact that you went out in the third quarter and Toronto basically took your lunch money inside of a minute. Iguodala comes down and misses. Kawhi nails a three. Draymond turns it over. Kawhi hits another three.
Kawhi pulled up right on Draymond there, too. That was a bad exchange for Draymond.
That was Yakum. That was drawers. That was in your eye, the whole thing. And at that point, Toronto had its first lead, and you felt, oh, no. And you got Dubcon 3 by Toronto at home. That can't happen.
You know what?
I had that in the notes, and I was like, I don't want to mention that, but it had to.
Had to.
You know what, Daniel? You sound like a loser right now. That's what's crazy about it. I mean,
you know what you sound like? Do I need to go back to the dumpster analogy? Because that's what basically you were doing when you said, oh, if it was Milwaukee, the Warriors would be in the same situation. And you know that, guys, as I use my mock sympathetic voice.
Look.
If it was Philadelphia.
The series is coming back to Oakland, we at the very least have to be somewhat unified in here.
No chance of that, Coach.
I'm not forcing you. I know he puts you in difficult positions with something. You're partially to blame. Don't give me that look.
He's entirely to blame.
He also runs very, very hot. You're bum-garnering over there. You're bum-garnering. Mac Muncy's trying to enjoy getting hit by that pitch, because that's essentially what this analogy would be.
Well,
you threw a pitch at Muncy, he got hit, he pimped it on the way to first, and you got mad at the pimping. Hey, if you don't want a guy pimping a walk, don't hit him with the baseball.
No,
what you said is basically loser talk. I'm giving you loser talk. When I'm the one who said this series is not over, you're the one who's, oh, let's tip our cap to Kawhi and my good friends up in Toronto.
I didn't say nothing about my good friends.
You're the one trying to tip your cap all morning.
Again, I want to bring it back in. Let's bring a little positivity to the equation. Look, remember what we did on Friday? We made a slight mistake. We spent all time, the whole show, hyping up Klay Thompson and channeling all our positive energy into that. And Klay went off. He did exactly what we were aiming for. The problem is we didn't channel it into the team. That's the issue. Speak it into existence. Isn't that what a lot of these self-help gurus try to tell you? Whether you believe in it or not, it's probably worth trying at this point. We want to see him win. More than anything else, for Oracle, that's not how Oracle can go out. If you lose game 6 at Oracle and they end up celebrating there, it's going to be tough, but at least a better opportunity than what we saw Friday night. Friday night was a beaten up team that was out of gas, completely out of gas in the second half. Steph couldn't get it going, and you just watched Toronto take over, and then the fans took over, and the whole thing sucked. Tonight, you got to go up there. At the very least, don't allow them to celebrate on their home court. Remember when that happened with Cleveland the first couple times? Don't allow them to have the pleasure of celebrating north of the border. Go up there and at least spoil this for them tonight. Do you know who's singing O Canada tonight?
Who's that?
Who?
That would be the fans.
Yeah,
all the
fans entire crowd is going to sing the song tonight. They don't even have a special guest for it. That's going to be insane, that building. It's probably going to be quite beautiful, too, when they do things like that.
That's lazy, quite frankly. It shows Canada.
Lazy?
Yes, get an actual
patriotic
entertainer. It's patriotic. When you hear those 20,000 people all off key, you're going to think, we should have brought in a professional. Like, by the way, Monica will sing the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem tonight, but they wouldn't want to have her roll over and do both, apparently. So I'll just mail it in, let the crowd do it.
Well, I think that you...
You don't honestly believe
I
that.
I do believe
that.
You know
that. It's going to sound nice.
It's going to sound... The echo, it's going to sound okay.
Half
the echo is the key.
The word.
Right. You got to have an echo.
You. It is going to be patriotic tonight with Toronto. You look at Toronto, what they've been able to do. But I disagree with Daniel in this regard, Joe. If they find a way to win tonight, and I said that I came in after watching game 3 and said I wanted to bend the knee, and I said because it would be over in 5.
Yeah, you went from Raptors in 7. You wanted to bring it down to Raptors in 6?
In 6 or 5. Yep,
okay.
I did, because what I saw, and to my eyes now, to what you guys seen, you would all have to agree with me, the saving grace now is hopefully KD. If KD comes back tonight and plays and gets to 18, they win, like I say. Then you look at game 6, and for you, Mr. Dibbs, is saying, well, even if they come back and they lose here at game 6, it's not, I'm not going to talk loser talk, because they'll win that one. They'll win that game.
So we're going 7.
Then because if KD comes back and he's healthy, they go 7.
Good God.
You've already double-talked this in the submission.
What would it cost
to
get a ticket to Oracle?
You said if Kawhi goes for 30, they're going to lose. And if KD gets 18, they're going to win. So if Kawhi goes for 30...
Don't get caught up in that. Try to stay positive for a minute.
No, I am not getting caught up in anything.
You know what I'm saying.
What you're saying is nonsense. And I'm calling you on it because it's my duty as a guy who has to sit here and listen to it for 20 hours a week.
KD scores 18.
You're double-talking it. You said both.
They're going to... No, I said if they... I said KD's going to keep him under 30.
Or they lose.
But KD's going to do that, so they're not going to lose.
But if he doesn't, if KD gets 18 and Kawhi gets 30.
Again, let's not worry about that. Let's worry about getting this thing back to Oracle game 6.
Right.
Let's worry about getting it back to Oracle game 6. If it gets back there, you see this thing going 7 then?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You'd have to go to Toronto and you'd have to win in game five on the road, and then you'd have to win game seven on the road.
That's a
huge order.
Now, that's the problem.
Huge order.
The beauty of it, though, is you have copious amounts of rest in between these games. Your shortest rest already happened between games three and four, so you have 3 days between four and five, and theoretically it'd be three games again between five and six.
All right, we'll jump back into it. But first, Jim Barnett brought to you by Victory Toyota in Seaside, where they give you splash cash dealer discounts off MSRP on top of Toyota rebates on all new 2018 and 2019 models. Ladies and gentlemen, going to the dial pad guest line, our good friend Jim Barnett with us here on 95.7 The Game. Jim, good morning. And as always, we appreciate your time. Let's start with the big story that's on everyone's mind. Do you believe Kevin Durant will play for the Warriors tonight in Game 5?
Well, I like questionable a lot better than out, and that's
agreed.
What he's given him. It's questionable, and I know. I guess he practiced yesterday, and I don't know to what extreme that they did this and scrimmaging and all those kinds of things over the last couple of days. But I have a good feeling that he's going to play, and of course I'm thinking, why not? You got the whole summer to rest up, no matter what. So I think he's going to play, and if the Raptors are looking to win their first championship after being in this league for 25 years. And it's really exciting up here, guys. I do hope we come back for a game seven. It would be fantastic. It'd be raucous. And of course, everyone loves this city. And we also understand we're not just playing Toronto. We're playing the country of Canada. That's what it's taken. It's just sweeping the country, but I think he's going to play. And if the Raptors want to win a championship, they better get game five, because if the Warriors win tonight, they're going to come back and win game six at home. And then, of course, anything can happen in game seven, but it wouldn't surprise me if they just won three straight. I would think Durant would get better and better all along. He's been shooting an awful lot and everything, so I bet his shot is still there. I don't know what kind of shape he's in and how he can manage that. But I know this, the Raptors are – they're not the Raptors that we saw, in the first couple of games here. They're not as vulnerable, I don't think, as they were before. They've gained a lot of confidence. And the one thing the Warriors have to do is to get better defense, because second half of game four at Oracle Arena, the Raptors did anything they wanted offensively. And the Raptors, they don't fear the Warriors, that's for sure.
How do you get to a spot where you can turn Toronto over a little bit more, Jim? Just 9 turnovers for the Raptors, and to your point, they shot 50% after the intermission. What can the Warriors do defensively to try to get a little bit more helter-skelter in their favor?
Well, I think with Durant in there defensively will help you too. And I think the Warriors double-team Kawhi Leonard a little too much, because he doesn't mind. I've never seen any player better than Kawhi at taking the ball inside of down below the free throw line, where two people are waiting for him, and he gets surrounded by three players, and people try to reach in, slap at him, unhinge the ball. He's just too strong. He didn't have a turnover in game four. He knows how to make plays. He takes that little fadeaway jumper, which is impossible to stop. But he killed the Warriors when he came out and hit those two threes. So you got to pick him up, but you got to keep him in front of you. You can't with one man, because you reach in and slap at the ball, and I don't care how many people are doing it, they can't keep him off the free throw line. He's killing him getting to the free throw line each and every game. Too many fouls and reach in, and instead of playing good fundamental sound man-to-man defense, moving your feet. They've got to move their feet more than trying to reach and all those types of things. Now, he's a very talented player, and up to right now, don't you? If they went on to win, he's the MVP of the series, no question. He's been that good. But as a whole, I think Draymond is a little disappointed with his defensive effort the last couple of games as well. I expect him to play better. The Warriors definitely have to play better. And I don't know, I don't know all the starting lineup, even if Durant does play. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Andrew Bogut out there, because he can free up Curry and Thompson and knows that system very, very well. But the big thing, and this is for the offense for the Warriors, if I can slide to that, if Durant's just out there, they're not able to double-team Stephen Curry now. And that opens up a lot of opportunities for everyone.
No question, Jim. I totally agree with you, especially when you're talking about the assessment of Kawhi Leonard. And at times, would you throw KD on him? Because, like you said, if he can stay in front of him, he's tall, he can jump. Would he be the one guy that could alter his shot because of the fact he is so long?
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to that. And so I'm going to go and say, you know, I think Durant's going to play. I'll give it 95%. I just don't believe, you know, questionable. Unless they were something could happen that would permanently injure him, I don't think that's the case. So, yeah, he's the natural defender on Kawhi because of his length, his ability to stay with someone. He's a good defender when he puts his mind to it. He's a good on-the-ball defender. That could change things. And he doesn't have to reach in and foul him. And he can keep him off the line. And then everybody can play straight up like that. I think that's low. I think that's the real ticket right there.
Jim, me and you, we're in the same church. You're the preaching to the choir. And also, does KD have you throw him on him at times? Does he not have the ability to keep this guy under 30?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because he's going to keep him off the free throw line.
Jim Barnett answering a series of ridiculous low questions here on 95.7
The Game. Jim, I love you, by the way.
Jim, back to reality here and questions that aren't loaded for the purposes of proving ridiculous points from earlier in the show. DeMarcus Cousins had that great game, too, and I think a lot of us got swept up in it, myself included. And what we failed to realize was that was more the exception than the rule. This poor guy is coming back from two big-time injuries. He's still trying to get back into shape. They don't win game two without him. He was huge in that game, but you could tell he's been laboring a bit the last two outings. What do you think his role is moving forward? Do you think Kerr starts him? How many minutes are we looking at for Boogie Cousins?
So I don't know anything, but I think he's going to start Bogut. And I think you're going to see it's been tough on DeMarcus. There's no question about it. He's struggled out there. And it depends on how the game goes. And if the game is going well and Durant seems fine and everything like that, you'll see probably, I think, more of Looney because he can go out and defend that three-point line. That's what I'm expecting tonight, seeing, you know, and you also can't, as much as Andrew Bogut sets good picks and gets free, gets Curry free and Thompson, particularly Curry, dribble handoffs and what have you. He knows how to do that. You're going to see Looney because he can defend that three-point line, which Bogut cannot come out on that. I just think you're going to see a diminished role. It depends on the game and everything, but if the Warriors are rolling well, I think it's going to be a diminished role for DeMarcus Cousins. That's my own personal opinion. I could be wrong, but I have a feeling that's the way it would go.
It's trending that way after his great game, too. And I think you could say the same thing about Quinn Cook and Alphonso McKinney as well. Are you seeing or sensing that this finals moment is getting to be a little bit too big for those two?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I've been very frustrated. I keep thinking, you know, I mean, oh, gosh, where is someone like Leandro Barbosa who can come in and change the game and give you 8 points in a quarter and another six and finish a game with 14 or 15 points off the bench in limited minutes? I keep thinking, okay, Cook's going to come in. He did get three threes in one game there. But, you know, where's McKinney? Is he all of a sudden going to come out and have 18 points in a game? Is he capable of that? I keep thinking these players will do this. And, of course, last game, even, you know, you're starting in last game with Iguodala and Draymond Green and Cousins. They started, and, you know, I thought Iguodala should take more shots. I know he didn't shoot it well, but when a shot is created, you've got to take the shot. I thought he passed up even a driving possible layup one time. They need some scoring, you know, less, especially last game, other than Thompson and Curry. And Curry had to be a real volume shooter. So I'm just frustrated by that. I don't have an answer. With all the rest you're getting between games three days and so forth like that, you're probably going to see Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson keep playing 42 to 45 minutes a night. If the other guys will get a shot, but they're going to get a little 2 minute shot and there's their test. And if you can't produce right then and they see how, if you can't defend, someone else has got to come in. You know, when Sean Livingston's been pretty good in the series for limited minutes, but he can't give you any three-pointers like that. And, you know, he's getting up there in age, too. So he's not giving you what he used to give you. It's just that's the way Mother Nature handles things. So, yeah, they can't. You know what? When you're in an elimination game, you know, Toronto only has to win one more game. You can't afford to take risks. You can't afford to juggle the lineup and take a hunch that is a real risky hunch. You're going to go with the proven thing, and that's why. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
How big is the news, Jim, that Andre Iguodala is going to come back next season?
I haven't even been following that. I haven't, don't know anything about it. And he's got a contract for next year. Why wouldn't he come back?
Yeah, just figured maybe he's getting a little bit older. He decides, like Livingston, that maybe, you know, he's reached the end of the road. But it is, I mean, we were thinking about it just from a leadership perspective. You know, I think he turns 36 next January, 35. It'll be his 16th season. Right. But the way he's mentored some of the young guys, that type of thing doesn't necessarily show up in the box score where it's easy to read.
I understand that, and he's a valuable asset, and he's a terrific complementary player when he's out there, and I mean in the leadership skills, and he settles everybody down. Obviously, you know, he's not the scorer that he used to be when he was playing back in Philadelphia and giving you 18 to 20 and each year and so forth like that. He doesn't shoot as much. He's right now he's kind of a specialist, if you will, but. Yes, he's 35 now, and he'll be 36 next year. And you can see even Leonard, who's deceptively quick but still not blazing fast and quick, can get around him. And that's what I, by the way, when I got a little older in this league, you still managed to score a little bit. But I remember Paul Westphal, whom I'd known since high school, and I was playing for Philadelphia, and I remember him going around me one game. We got a driving layup, and I ran down the court with him side by side, and I said, "How'd you do that? There's no way you could beat me off the dribble." And it was because I was getting older, and you don't realize it that you lose a step. That's what they talk about, losing a step. You lose it at the defensive end. There's no question.
Former Warrior, now Warrior analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. You can catch him on The Call with Tim Roy right here on 95.7 The Game tonight. Tip time 6 p.m. on 95.7 The Game. The great Jim Barnett joining Joe, Lowe, and Dibs. Jim, we know you're busy, but thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the game tonight, and hopefully we're talking about Game 6 with you in the very near future here.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go out on a limb. If they win Game 5 here, you're not only talking Game 6 and Game 7, but you're talking a three-game sweep there. I think that there's a great possibility if they win tonight that they're going to win the two following after that.
Beautiful. You got a lot of fans excited. Thank you so much, Jim.
All right. Take care.
We've got 5 pairs of watch party tickets for Game 5 tonight to give away. Those will be at will call for you if you win. That's coming up in a couple minutes. First take. Barnett seems pretty confident. You get it done tonight, he thinks they come back and they win the series.
And I think you saw it yesterday when you had the press conferences where the Warriors and the coaches all seem very calm and they understand what it takes to come back from 3-1 down. They also know what it takes to blow a 3-1 lead. So having seen it on both sides internally over the last couple of seasons, they understand what Toronto's going through having a 3-1 lead. It's not over. And you think, you go to Toronto, all you can control is the next 48 minutes. And if you play well, Kevin Durant hopefully will be on the floor. You give your best effort, and you realize that Toronto's not a team that is unbeatable. You've already beaten them once in these finals, and granted, Toronto went through a long drought in that game for you to get it done, but you found a way to get it done in Toronto. So you feel confident that you can go there. You've already done it in this series. You win Game 5. And then you worry about what happens at home after that. But I think the mindset of this team, having been to 5 straight NBA finals, it gives me a certain amount of confidence that they still believe in themselves.
Durant with an incredible opportunity to write what could be the most impressive, fascinating, interesting storyline to his entire legacy. Down 3-1, you come back from injury, you help your team get to 3-2, you give Oracle one last send-off, one proper send-off Thursday, win that game, take it to Game 7 in Toronto, win there. I'm not saying he has to play huge, but if he comes back, and this will be the narrative, his return is what swung the series. You're down 3-1, you're getting your butts kicked, Durant comes back, you win the next 3. Whether he's going 30-10 or not, that's going to be the narrative because that was what changed. he would have a point. I mean, coming off that, you're at a parade. People are just bowing down to the greatness.
Why wouldn't they? And he's in a situation, in my opinion, that it's very possible. And the biggest thing to me, like I keep going back to, is going to be on the defense end of the floor. If this guy can go out and, you know, because I understand, ask him to go get 35, and we've seen him do it, 36, 40. We've seen Kevin Durant. We know he can score, and he's a scoring machine. But if you can quiet the giant, if you can quiet the bully, if you can beat their champion, and that's Kawhi, if you can limit this guy and keep him under 25 and you play him that hard, and now he, like I talked about, how now you don't have to double team because Kawhi can control the game. When guys double team, he's looking to facilitate. You have three guys at times on him and he kicks the ball out and guys have wide open shots. They're prepared for the moment because they know what's going to happen. Now you're in a situation where you can play a man with Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant, he's going to have to force the shot because he knows everyone else is going to be covered. And now if he's saying that everyone else is playing defense on guys because they don't have to help necessarily Kevin Durant, what is that going to do with Kawhi? That's going to put more pressure on him to score. But if Kevin Durant is just up and able to jump with him and not lean into him and don't create fouls, it is going to alter his shot because he's 6'11 and have the wingspan of a friggin' giant. That will alter who he is. And if you can do that at a consistent basis, you will win this game. If you can score 18, because other guys will be open, they'll be playing better defense, and Steph Curry will play better because he's not going to be asked to do so much offensively. It is going to free up everyone else. It will help them on defense. That is my biggest concern for Kevin Durant. Can he play meaningful minutes? Not the whole time on Kawhi, but can he play meaningful minutes when he's asked to mark him up? Can he do it?
Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game, presented by our friends at Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Barnett said something very interesting about Andrew Bogut. I want to get to that in a second. But first, we have got some watch party tickets to give away. First five callers to the contest line. The contest line is 844-999-GAME. 844-999-4263. First five callers will win a pair of tickets to tonight's watch party at Oracle. Those tickets will be waiting for you at Will Call, so you don't have to stop anywhere else. 844-999-4263. Barnett had mentioned that he doesn't think Boogie would get the start. He thinks he's going to start Bogut tonight. Now, he says it's not based on any inside information. He's just saying he thinks Bogut gets the start. But if Durant's back, how does that work? Steph, Clay, Draymond, Durant, Bogut, Andre Bogut with no Durant. If Durant's playing, he's starting, I would assume, is the way we go. So does Andre move to the bench, or does Andre start alongside Durant and Bogut? Barnett just misspoke. Bogut gets more run than Boogie does.
I think ultimately Bogut comes off the bench. If KD is able to play, I think you start the Hamptons five. You go straight to it with Iguodala, Durant, Clay, Draymond, and Steph. And I think You put all your cards on the table. There's no more holding on for the next hand. You're down to your last big blind or your last couple big blinds in poker parlance.
Like me on the cruise, you're pushing in.
Pretty much.
You're shoving.
Pretty much. No matter what you have, and it doesn't even matter what cards you have in the hole, if you're in the big blind, you're going to be in the hand. So you might as well not even look at the cards that you have because you're basically playing this hand. So for me, you go Hamptons 5 right from the start. Now, does Bogut have a role? Absolutely. And I'd like to see what the matchup looks like with Draymond Green playing more time at center, because he really hasn't played center a lot in this series because you haven't had anyone who can fill in on the wing. So you've been forced to play a more quote-unquote traditional center in this series. I'd like to see how Toronto reacts going up against the Hamptons 5 lineup, because I think you're going to see that group together for a lot of the game tonight.
How do you see it? Do you see Durant and Iguodala starting together? Bogut would just be coming off the bench?
Yeah, I do, because I think then you make Toronto have to adjust to your lineup. I think that's what you'll have. No, I do agree with Daniel that Bogut will come off the bench and get some meaningful minutes because of the fact when you go big, now you have another guy that can match up good against Marc Gasol. He's a good defender, and he helps guys especially create open shots because he blocks well, he picks good hit and make, he sets great screens. So I think that you will see the Hampton 5 start off the game, but I do think that Bogut will play a lot of minutes.
So who goes where, right? So, like, you going to put Steph on Lowry? Or do you put Steph on Danny Green and Danny Green guards Steph? And then where are you going to deploy Clay? because you can move him over to Kyle Lowry and try to limit that.
That's what I would do.
Draymond moves to one of the bigs, which would probably be, what, Siakam. But then you've got Durant going up against, what, Gasol? And then Iguodala moves to Leonard? Or you're going to put Durant on Leonard, is what you said you wanted to do primarily.
At times you're going to mix it up. At times you'll see Green on the big, on Gasol, because of the fact he can keep him out away from the basket. He's going to still make him shoot. He can't necessarily dribble on him, so he'll take some chances and steal some of the passes. So I think that you can see that at times too. And it's going to be a matter of attrition. Can they, if he is on Marc Gasol, how would Draymond play him? Draymond plays big guys good. You can't do it for the whole game, but at times you can do that.
I mean, if you're Toronto and this is the lineup, you probably want to feed Gasol early, would you not? That's what I'm looking at right here. That seems to be the problem. Let's say Stephen Lowry, or do you want to say Stephen Danny Green?
No, that's fine. I think Stephen Lowry is a good matchup.
Then you probably go Clay and Danny Green. Do you want to use Clay's defense on Danny Green?
I think you would go Clay on Kawhi Leonard myself to start. Give Clay early turns on Kawhi.
Yeah.
And then I think you had it right with Iguodala. Iguodala, maybe you put him on Gasol in the low post, and then you put Draymond on Siakam.
Jeez.
Or likewise. Either way, you're going to force Gasol to beat you from down in the low
right.
post. No matter who you put on him, he's going to have a size advantage over Draymond, over Iguodala. He won't have a size advantage on KD, but you don't want to subject the calf to that sort of pounding, having to put up against 270 pounds.
I can live with that. If this is the 5-on-5 and Gasol is going to be the weapon that they've got to funnel through, it's not Leonard. I think we're at a point now where as long as it's not going to Leonard, you can try to make it rain.
And if you put Iguodala on Marc Gasol, Joe, what you have then, now Draymond at time can sag off of Siakam and go help because he's not necessarily a knockdown three-point shooter. Other guys can't necessarily leave their guys because Green can get hot, like you said, and Lowry can get hot. So you keep your guys.
Danny Green. He's so hit or miss.
He is hit or miss.
But then game four was a miss.
But you don't want to give him a bunch of open looks because then he can maybe heat up. So I take my chances, and now Draymond, hey, at times, Siakam, go ahead and help. Iguodala on Marc Gasol at times and let him see if he can beat me from the outside because he's not necessarily a great outside shooter.
How are we betting this? If you have to prison bet this game, I'm not saying you do, but
well,
if it's all predicated on
KD.
Let's say he plays.
If KD plays, I think they win this game. And not only they win this game, this is going to be a game that this will be Toronto's lowest scoring game. Because they're going to win it on deep. They're going to score.
So it's Toronto minus 1.5, 214.5.
They're not going to get over one. They will not score over 106 points, 107 points. That's so 105. What is their number? 105. So I think this
what for the team total here?
Team total.
Yep. It's like 107, 106, basically.
I think this will be their
107.5 to 106 would be 213.5. So 108 to 106.5
under.
Would be 214.5. So it'd be 108, 106. So their number's 108. Their team total's 108.
I take that under.
Under 108.
I am.
Under 108. You were pretty close in the game four. I have all of our game four predictions. All four of us predicted the Warriors would win. But as far as Toronto team total, Anna had Toronto at 104. Lo, you had them at 103. They wound up with 105. Joe, you had them at 111.
They missed the team total bet by half a point. I can tell you everything that happened at the end of the game. It was like a degenerate, I bet it. And I was watching every possession. And then the gentleman they decided to be, we'll run the clock out, just hand you the ball back. Thanks for the ball. We won't do anything either. We'll just leave the court.
I
unacceptable.
Yeah. I got him at halftime.
Make a play. It's a 48-minute game.
Singular play.
Make a play. The 17-point first doomed me on the Toronto team total, but the fact that it got to within a half point just missed. It missed by half a point.
I had the Warriors in the first half in the under, a hit, and then I jumped on it, and then I took the points in the under for the game, I hit. Then at halftime, I came back and I took the under 110, I hit, and I took Toronto.
So jeez.
I was.
Look at you, Danny Ocean.
Yeah.
You're going to rob all three casinos on the Vegas Strip.
That's
a good run.
Yeah.
So you're thinking tonight you go under Toronto's 108-point team total. What do you do if you have to play the side? Be honest, whether it's trolling or not, just be honest. I'm not going to. I know you're going to give me an honest assessment. Toronto minus 1.5. I do think that while you have the sharper guys getting ahead of the number right now, the Durant announcement would have the public money pouring in, so I think you can beat the close by playing the Warriors now. Because I think once the announcement comes that Durant's playing, that thing probably gets down to a pick 'em.
Yeah, I agree with you. And honestly, if Durant's playing, Joe, I see them winning because of this reason. I don't see, and it's crazy because Jim Barnett, he's in Toronto. He's not listening to the show. He said they double team who too much. He said who?
Kawhi Leonard. I've been saying that since game one.
You have too. And that's my point tonight is now you don't have to double team him as much with KD.
How the hell are you double teaming him and he's averaging 30? They've been double teaming him too much is the problem?
And my point is that's why guys now are going to be able to play their men. So now if you're playing your guys, you're not going to get these shots. So defense is going to be better for my opinion, for the Warriors all the way around.
Very intriguing. How do you see it? You got to bet it. You can offer up any of the suggestions that are out there, but how are you playing this?
I would bet the Warriors, and it's one of those things where it's almost a hold your nose special because you don't want to go against Golden State in any of these spots. I mean, we all got burned in game four thinking that they were going to win, and it's
the covers. Look at the numbers. Who was predicting the covers?
No one.
I did. What was my final score? Yeah, I definitely had them covering. That was my best bet of the week.
Warriors were... You had the Warriors winning by two.
Yeah.
And they were, getting 4.5? Is that right?
Somewhere in there?
4.5.
Oh, yeah. You're wrong. I'm wrong. Sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Look at mine.
I got caught playing home run Friday.
No, you had the Warriors winning 107-103 on Friday.
We got caught playing home
run. Everybody. Every single person. We did predictions, official predictions, and I used my official prediction pen.
He's right.
Kakanaki said 109-104. I said 109-108 Warriors. All four of us predicted the Warriors would win. So, in answer to your question, I think the Warriors will win, and I think the Warriors will cover. I think having KD back makes all the difference. Lowe's making good points about the defensive adjustments, and I think it's going to be right in that same kind of sphere, 106-105 kind of ballgame.
I have no idea. I have the lowest expectations for Durant, just based on everything that's been put in front of me. And it's not because he hasn't played for a month. He just had a practice yesterday. Shoot, we're actually coming up on it. Okay, we can get this in. Nick Friedel's article yesterday about the practice. This is a direct quote. If Durant did get substantial work in Sunday, it wasn't much. On top of the fact that Durant walked to the floor after the rest of his teammates, once cameras and media left the arena bowl, he was one of the first players back into the Warriors locker room after the team's brief workout. The 30-year-old reappeared for a few moments later with two big ice packs wrapped around the lower part of his right calf and his right Achilles tendon. He walked toward the team bus with assistant coach Mike Brown and a couple members of the Warrior training staff. I mean, it's a limited practice.
So he
finally gets out there and he gets limited. And by the way, the Raptors did cover. I had it backwards. The Raptors were getting 4.5. That came down. So if you predicted, what was Lowe's final score?
I'm positive I had it right.
Lowe, you had the Warriors winning by 4.
So you got it because it was 4.5.
Yeah.
So you had the cover. All right. I got so twisted up on that for some reason.
Right.
I remember thinking that was so many
Toronto
points.
Toronto won by 13. Lowe thought the Warriors would win by 4, so he was 17 points off.
Right, from the prediction, but from a betting perspective, he had the number right. He picked the team in terms of his final score dictated. If you looked at his final score, you'd say, all right, well, the Warriors aren't covering, and the Warriors didn't cover. We were all wrong on the prediction of the winner.
Gotcha.
But in terms of covering the spread. All right.
Right.
All right, let's get organized. We're going to go live on the stream next, 957thegame.com. You can watch the final hour of the show. We got to get into the rest of the predictions. We got to get into the Durant situation, all that good stuff. You're going to hear from Steve Kerr, Jay Williams. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs back in a flash here on 957 The Game.
It's do or die time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.